It's showtime, folks. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a wonderful start to your day. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. What's up, JoJo? A little windy, a little rainy.
Yeah, are we still under a code red?
No, we are not.
Okay.
Just every time. Sure. So yesterday I went over to Fox 17 to do some things, and I always like the when they have the studio lit up in red, and I'll be like, no one panic. We're in a code red. Did you bring your helmet?
It's just, I get it because it's consultants. I get it. But it's
buzzwords, man.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're all doing it. I mean, you got.
Oh yeah.
Code. What is it? Forewarn, weather alert, and.
I understand it. I worked in that business for many years. Anytime severe weather, they break in and people call in and moan. I was like, shut up, quit calling. A quick fun story. When I was at Channel 2, we interrupted a soccer match. It was tornadoes coming in, and this guy called in. And was, I'm gonna come down there, and so we have caller ID. So I said, is your phone number 731-525? And he's like, yeah. I said, hey, I'm going to call you back when this is done. Let's talk this out, maybe meet. He's like, look, I'm sorry. I was like, exactly. Shut your mouth. Stay safe. Don't call back. And that was it.
You kind of went rock there for a minute. Like, know your role and shut your mouth.
I mean, come on. There's a tornado coming. Yeah. He's calling and complaining about missing part of a soccer game.
Yeah. And can I address that part for a second? So what year was this?
2010.
We cared about soccer then?
It was on Channel 2 that day.
Was it like the World Cup?
I don't remember. Something.
Yeah, it might have been the World Cup.
You said 2010?
No. It was April of 2010. I'll never forget. Because it was right before the floods.
International. It would be like the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Or whatever.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's good enough.
International stuff. Like U.S. versus Mexico.
It was Saturday at 1 o'clock in April.
Yeah.
So there's not much on. The guy was calling and complaining.
Was that the same? Would that have been the same time? I think it was. The Preds were in the playoffs against Chicago, and it was on Channel 4, and they kept having to.
That's the flood.
Oh, okay, so that was a few weeks.
This was a few weeks before that.
Yeah, okay. Weather came
through. Yeah. The flood in 2010. That was something else because Channel 4 put the game on Telemundo and put the severe weather on the big thing, and it was just and the playoff game was on NBC, and they had to put in the quad box at the bottom, and somebody from the Nashville Predators called Channel 4 and said, we're revoking all your credentials. That person was quickly shut up.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you during the break who that was.
I think I know who it was.
And it was just like, it's severe weather. It's tornadoes, right? Stop doing this.
You have to do it.
All right. Feel better, man.
Good. I'm glad.
So somebody told me the Vandy basketball game tipped off at 9:38. Is that accurate? I can't find it anywhere. If you're out there and went to the game last night, please let me know because
it was on. I mean, look, I
need to know.
So I was watching something else that probably a lot of people were watching last night that was on most of the channels.
Yep.
And then I flipped over. Yeah, the Preds game. That was it. and then I flipped over and watched some of the Vandy game, and I fell asleep.
And so what time
was
it?
Probably
at?
Like 10:15.
Okay.
And they were in the second half.
Oh, they were? Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, good. Then they started at 9 o'clock then. All right.
Yeah, something like that.
But several reached out and said, the game didn't start after 9:30. I was like, all right, I guess with all this that's going on. Okay. And they lost, so, which sucks.
Yeah, they did, but that's okay. Who's our guest at 10:15 today?
Ah, we have the very funny Keith Alberstadt is coming to Zanny's this weekend. I'm telling you, this guy is absolutely hilarious. He'll join us at 10:15. He's at Zanny's. He's a Vanderbilt graduate. He used to be the Vanderbilt football sideline reporter.
Yeah. Didn't we have him on
a long time ago
for something with Vandy?
And he is, I'm telling you, don't walk, run to Zany's this weekend and see him. It's clean comedy. He's funny. He's going to join us at 10:15. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I mean we're kind of loaded today. Sometimes it happens this way where.
Are we a Greg Pogue loaded or loaded in a different way? We got to put a disclaimer up for that.
No, but we do have, you know, quite a few guests packed in a two-hour show, which we usually don't do. But
right.
John McClain at 9:30, Keith Alberstadt at 10:15, Brady Shea is going to call in at 10:30, and then MTSU Athletics Director Chris Massaro at 10:40. Some news came out with him yesterday that he will join the College Football Playoff Selection Committee. So congratulations to him. That'll be really cool.
That's awesome. We've kind of heard the whispers for a while, yeah. You and I have, and then they came out yesterday. That's great. I personally would not want to be on that committee, but Chris is smart. He knows the game. He knows everything that goes with that. I don't think you can find a better person to put on that committee than Chris Massaro.
No, so, I agree. And LB, you know, they kind of told me, you know, like there's certain things he can't talk about with it, and I get that. But it'll be cool to kind of get that perspective and talk a little Blue Raiders with him as well.
Would you want to be on that committee? Be honest.
I'd probably do it for a year. I mean, I think it's 3-year term, but yeah. I mean, I'd be more out of curiosity than anything. But I'm sure it would be, like, stressed.
I don't know how you could win. You remember who was on the committee to start off and he quit?
Was that Archibald Manning?
Yep. He's like, ah.
There was somebody else, too.
Was it Condoleezza Rice on that committee?
She was on it, yeah.
But Manning quit. Somebody got to Archie Manning and said, hey, this isn't good for your family and legacy. I'm telling you.
It was all
somebody. Because that family is, like, tries to be above everything else, and that they avoid controversy, which is smart. And so Archie got off that command. I don't blame him, and I don't remember what the reasoning was at the time, but we know why. Because just you get a lot of grief, man. You do, and they try to avoid that. And I understand it, but I would not want to be on that committee at all.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I think I'd be curious about it. You know, just for. You know, bleep and giggles.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning.
Well, you and Kevin Malone and Phyllis were on the party planning committee here at Cromwell Media, and that didn't go well either.
No, it didn't, but that's okay.
Right, and Dr. Crane took your spot.
Did I?
Yeah.
I guess I did.
Phyllis was not fun on the party planning committee.
She kept wanting to add balloons to everything.
Everything. And it's not in the budget. I mean, there is a budget you've got to work with, and they didn't work in the budget.
Rubber's expensive.
By the way, we've been fed today, and that's always good. I know you were running a little behind, but you're going to go grab a biscuit here in a second.
Who's?
But Maple Street Biscuit Company brought us some breakfast, and the biscuits I've tried, they're fantastic. Check them out on 8th Avenue, and they're also in Brentwood and Murfreesboro. So thanks to Maple Street Biscuit Company for feeding us this morning, because, you know, we like to eat.
Right, we do like to eat. For sure. We do, man.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Oh, man. No, you say it correctly. I just do the Michael Scott when they would do that to him on The Office. They're like, you know, for sure. He's like, for sure. Because, you know, he was trapped in something with his words and couldn't get out. And I was like, for sure.
As you said that, I had it ready to play on the computer. It was hilarious. It was simultaneous.
Oh, you have it?
I do.
So we have you doing faux show, and we have what's Rex Rhodes' new thing now that he did. I even put it on a rejoiner, and I can't remember what it was now, but it was something silly that he said.
The Ghost Runner
measuring cheek size.
No, it isn't that.
I like the Ghost Runner on second makes me laugh, and I don't know why, and that drives me crazy. Every time I hear that in the open, I laugh.
Tally ho, that's what it is. Tally ho. So wait, by the way, we'll get to some things that PK said today, by the way.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
We have that coming up. But he is pretty much adamant that the Titans are not in on Sam Darnold. So I can't wait for next week when the Titans are introducing Sam Darnold and we get to.
I'm with them. I don't think they. I don't think it's a good fit. I really don't.
Let me ask you something. Do you honestly? If I put you on a lie detector test and asked you if you thought a good fit existed for the Tennessee Titans right now, could you truthfully say yes?
Aaron Rodgers.
You think he's? You think 100% he's truthfully a good fit?
100%. Because he's got the front office behind him. He knows all those guys.
He's got one guy from the front office behind
him. There's several from the Packers that are on that front office.
Okay, I guess McKenzie. Reggie McKenzie was one. But, I mean, Brinker's the big one.
The big one.
Yeah, but how do you know that they actually liked him?
Because they won games there in Green Bay.
Right, but he was such a diva and a pain in the ass that maybe they're like, I don't want that here.
Newsflash, they're all divas.
Right, but they're all different levels of it.
He proved that. He won a Super Bowl. in 2010. I mean, I just think it's a good fit to come in here. That's all I'm saying. Bring me the circus.
So let me ask you. All right, let's just play devil's advocate. You go to Rodgers. Rodgers is like, yep, you know, I got a spot in Nashville. I like Nashville. I'd like to end my career in Nashville. You know, let's do it. Okay, cool. But I need you to go sign Devontae. He's willing to do it pretty cheap. Okay, I could probably get behind that. Calvin Ridley, Devontae Adams, you draft a receiver. Okay, I can sign up for that. I'm cool with it. You know, can you trade for who's the other receiver that's with the Jets right now?
Lazard.
Yeah. Can you trade for him?
I'm not giving you everything.
Right.
I'll give you a little stuff. I'm not giving you everything.
I mean, my counter to that would be like, Aaron, we got to fix your O-line. I got to get you an O-line before I do that. But, you know, if you end up signing Rodgers and Devontae Adams for 2 years, I'm not going to hate it. I don't love it, but I'm not going to hate it.
I'm not paying you $50 million. No. I'm not paying you $40 million.
No.
I might pay you $30. I'll pay you $25.
No, you could do
that. Look, these guys, it's all about legacy and being remembered now, how big their egos are. They don't want to be remembered for what happened in New York. So now they got a third chance to figure this out and go out in style. This is a great opportunity for them. Most of those guys are egomaniacs, as you know, especially the higher echelon guys. They want to go out with feeling good about themselves. Aaron Rodgers, we're not going to remember Green Bay. We're going to remember what happened to the Jets. Even though his stats were good, they were terrible. And that's what we're going to remember. Now you've got a third chance to go somewhere and make a positive impact and ride out in the sunshine, and I think those guys want it.
By the way, to answer your earlier question,
yes,
the Vandy game tipped off at 9:07.
All right.
And the other game ran late, so ESPN joined at 9:38.
Ah, okay.
Or SEC Network.
All right.
Good. Yeah.
9:07, not bad. That's great, man. Really good.
There you go.
Getting a spam call here. Hello.
Answer it. Coming up next, Paul Kuharsky had some words for you.
Good.
This morning. So let's you will hear those.
Is he still here?
He might be.
All right, I'll go check it out then.
I don't know.
The show.
We will hear that coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
And then meantime, a colleague in this very building on the next show, Joe Dubin, shoots me down like I'm getting beat by Jordan Schultz, who's 2 days behind me.
I saw that.
And so I expect Joe Dubin to walk in here. He should walk in here and apologize on the air, which he's still yet to do as far as I know. I haven't listened to his show. But I'll say very publicly, I don't appreciate him pretending like I'm getting beaten on national stories when I'm coming off a week, by the way, where I had multiple wins. So he thinks it's cute stick, and I think it's a guy not paying very close attention. So wakey-wakey a little earlier, Joe. He says, I'm not on Twitter much. Well, you're on Twitter enough to see Jordan Schultz's stuff, so wake up and look at mine.
I hope Joe comes in here, apologizes to you, and then puts you in a big headlock.
Because physical violence is always the answer.
Oh, boy.
Love it.
Chasing Big Joe.
Love it.
102.5, 106.3 The Game. That was Paul Kuharsky earlier today.
A few things.
On Robbie and Rexford. Hang on, let me bring it in first, and then you can have your moment.
All right.
Set this up. This was all you basically trolling on Twitter, right?
I've done this for 15 years.
Right.
Even when I covered the team, was always a joke about the national guys having the story. It's been a joke for 15 years. All of a sudden, you know, this little guy, and he's little guy, Paul, little guy, gets upset over this. 15 years I've been doing this.
Making fun
of myself and everybody. It's an absolute joke. I like Paul. I've covered Paul. I mean, I've retweeted his stuff throughout the years. I've done stories crediting Paul. I think Paul is the best Titans reporter. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. And the fact that all of a sudden he gets bent out of shape on this makes me laugh because it's not real life.
Right.
I had so many people told me, go in there when you see him Wednesday and whip his ass. Right? Now, I could go do that with no problem at all.
That's not necessary.
I could dump him in the middle of Murfreesboro Road easily. I ain't doing that. That's not what this is about. It's a joke. We laugh. But all of a sudden, now you're butthurt about it? That's on you, man. That's on you. I've credited you throughout the years, but it's, and Paul was like, well, that's be funnier. It's not up to you whether or not it's funny or not. I tweeted because I thought it was funny. This is me. Whether you laugh or not, I don't care.
There,
but the amount of people who sent me notes calling him out, I was like, look, man, I'll tell him it's a joke. Paul's a great reporter. That's it, and move on. That's the bottom line. Now, if you want to get personal with it, I'm here all day for that. But we're not getting to that level.
Yeah.
And I know he's not either. Well, he's the best reporter. I love Paul. It's fine. It's a joke. That's it.
I do think, and number one, you know this, that and obviously this is the Chasing Big Joe show, but my main job is to be the director of ops and sports programming
right
here at Cromwell Media in Nashville. And I always tell everyone, I don't care if you want to have a little beef, that's fine. But if I have to get called into a meeting, we're going to have a problem.
Right,
so
exactly.
Let's just make sure that we have to have a meeting.
I promise you, you will not be called into a meeting. And I told Paul, it's funny, when I was at Channel 4, I did this big thing about 10 years of Steve McNair's passing away. And Channel 4 was like, you got to run it on 4th of July, got to run it. I said, I'm not running it until I get two people in this story, Jim Wyatt and Paul Kaharsky.
Right.
So I got Jim, and I had to get Paul, and we had to go find Paul and do this thing. And Channel 4 was like, well, it's got to run today at 5 o'clock. I'm like, it's not running unless I get Paul. And this, it doesn't work if Paul's not in the story. I got Paul. We got in the story. So I told Paul, I said, look, it's a joke, man, but I'm telling you, throughout the years, I've always put you in things and given you credit where other people don't.
Right.
When you've busted your ass and do that. His website's fantastic. He's the best reporter. It was just a joke.
Well, it's a joke that you make, and you have made it for like 15 years.
I have.
Whenever Schefter or, because like here's the deal. And any, you know, and Paul breaks a lot of stuff. You know, TD breaks stuff. Jim did when he was on the beat. Now he obviously works for the team. But, you know, the national guys get stuff because a lot of times somebody within the team calls them.
Yeah.
Or texts them or an agent. And now with the quote unquote insiders, which, you know, is Adam Schefter, you know, Chris Mortensen before his passing. That's what he was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Ian Rappaport. It's you know, the NFL loves it. All sports love those kind of reporters. And so they give those things to them. You know, but it's a joke. I get it. It's a joke.
I follow two non-Titans reporters. But that being me, that's not on the payroll.
Yeah.
Paul and Teron.
Right.
That's all I need. I follow those guys. And I get the frustration of all that because I was over there. Sure. I get the frustration when you're like, oh, man, we were just talking to you. Why'd you give the story to the national guys?
Yeah.
It's frustrating. That's what became this joke of like, oh, Schefter again, the best Titans beat reporter because he's getting – and they do get all that. I think Fisher had Mortensen and Floyd had – they all got different people.
Yeah, but it was a little different back then. That, yes, you know, Fisher and Mortensen were tight, and Floyd had a few. But, like, Jimmy was breaking stories. Paul was breaking stories. I mean, it was a little more local in those early days. Twitter kind of changed it.
It did.
Because everybody wants to be first.
Yeah.
And that's why you have
– Well, I think, like, when Reinfeldt was there, he had his own national guy.
Yeah.
After Floyd left in 07.
Vrabel had Diana Rossini.
They all got it.
You know?
And that's the thing. It is a frustrating thing when you're working over there and these guys beat you on a story when you're right there talking to the guy an hour before and they don't tell you that. I get it. It's just a joke and that's
it. Sure. But let me ask, if you're the Tennessee Titans, you know, no offense to, you know, and like Teron's a different one because he works for ESPN. So mm-hmm. he's kind of part of, you know, part of that. But like if you're the Titans, don't you want them talking about you on NFL Live?
Oh,
the best way to do that is to give Schefter something because then Schefter's going to talk about it. I mean, I get it. Like it's frustrating, but I also get it.
Yeah.
Now, but it's a joke.
And I told him if you need to quote tweet me and retweet me to get you more followers to your website, I'm all about it, man. I want you to succeed. I want everybody to succeed. I'm not in that game of knocking it down.
Sure.
It's just a joke, and that was it. Now, if this was a joke I started on Monday and did this out of malice, then yeah, fight me. But the fact that I've done that for so long, you've been part of that for so long, too, as well with me, with all that, it's just that's what it is. And I'll continue to do that.
Ben in Cumberland City, you can weigh in at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. Joe, I don't like this Paul Koharsk. I like the one that works at the Mapco on Murfreesboro Road. He can take a joke. This radio guy can't.
Oh, yeah. That's another joke of mine on Twitter.
Kevin says, this show sounds like The View now, LOL. Let's talk happy things like Aaron Rodgers not coming here.
Get out of here. Aaron Rodgers is coming here, man.
Chase, can you tell Big Joe to lower the temp on his cynicism? He's always so bitter and overly critical when it comes to other media outlets, TV or radio. Be happy.
I am critical on TV because of consultants. That drives me crazy. You know that.
Oh, I know. I know. we got some colorful language towards Paul. 2646, it's because PK is a petulant little child. That's his thing.
Fine, don't change your stripes. And that's why I applaud him for not changing his stripes. I mean, you have a mission, you have a passion, do your thing. Don't change your stripes. I'm not changing for anyone.
Andrew in Dover, Joe took the John Cena route and turned heel on Paul. LOL, love you, Big Joe.
We're good, man. I'll promote him forever. It's fine.
That is too far.
What was the end he said about physical violence that made me laugh? Is that always the answer or something on one of those things?
I don't know.
So wake up and look at mine.
I hope Joe comes in here, apologizes to you, and then puts you in a big headlock.
Because physical violence is always the answer.
Listen. It's not always the answer, but it would be funny.
Right. It would be. But I'm too old to get in fisticuffs now.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
as he gets into fisticuffs.
There you go.
I love you, Paul. I love you. Keep doing it, man. Keep bashing me on Twitter. I do not care.
It's all in good fun.
And what's his website again? PaulKoharski.com?
It sure is.
Go subscribe and get all the Titans information right there. Better than anybody else around.
He has an article up right now talking about Sam Darnold and how he doesn't think Sam Darnold is coming to the Titans.
See, we can agree. I'm with Paul 100% on this. And I'll default to Paul's story. Go read it on his website.
Yep, there you go. 615-737-1025. Things are about to get fast and furious when it comes to guests. Every Wednesday at 9:30, we talk to our man John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John will join us. Coming up next here on the Chasing Big Joe Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. A little Jerry Reed on a Wednesday, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. As we do every Wednesday at 9:30, we say hello to the great John McClain, who joins us. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. Good morning, John. How you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm ready for start of free agency a week from today. Already moves are being made, trades, cuts. It's always the second most interesting time of the offseason next to the draft, of course.
Yeah, well, and I guess it's Monday that legal tampering starts, which, you know, we love that because basically that's free agency, because we all remember, and I know you remember those times where free agency would open at midnight and somebody would have a big deal by 12:05. So they decided to go ahead and make it legal. So how much activity do you think we're going to see from the AFC South? Obviously, Houston has their needs, and we're, of course, watching to see what the Titans are going to do here.
Texans don't have much room under the salary cap. You know, last year, Indianapolis used their cap dollars to re-sign their players instead of signing players from other teams, and that didn't work, and it'll be intriguing to see what they do with general manager Chris Ballard, who everybody thinks his job is on the line. And if Anthony Richardson will get one more season, they've said they'll bring in a veteran to compete with him, and that can't help Richardson's confidence. But if Richardson is a bomb out third year in a row, figure Chris Ballard will be out of there after I think it'll be 10 years. And the Jaguars always spend money. Shad Khan, I read something near the end of the season. He spent $400 million in guaranteed money in a certain span. So the Jaguars will always spend money. And then all the eyes will be on the Titans, of course, because of having the first pick, which I think will be a quarterback, as I've told you guys. And you're right on that, Chase. The legal tampering period is Monday. That's when all the deals are done, and then they'll be announced at 3 o'clock on Wednesday, and we'll see a flurry of activity with Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport, Tom Pelissero. Don't see much with Jay Glazer. He saves his big scoop for the season. And agents, they just fire them off to those info guys, and they trust them and put it out there. So it's fascinating. I know I'll just be in front of my cell and my laptop watching what happens.
Yeah, as we all will, that is for sure. With the quarterback carousel, and you just said it, you have been very steadfast in saying you think the Titans stick and pick at one and take a quarterback. With these free agent quarterbacks that are available, and Mike Borgonzi said last week at the Combine, you know, we're not ruling out drafting a quarterback and signing one in free agency because they currently only have one quarterback on the roster in Will Levis right now. Where do you see some of these big names landing, like a Sam Darnold or an Aaron Rodgers, probably being the top two that are available via free agency, unless something changes with Darnold and the Vikings at the, you know, in the 11th hour?
Yeah, they've already showed Darnold they don't want him. If they wanted him, they would have signed him to a new deal. I saw people say, well, Darnold can sign a short-term deal. Why would he do that? Why? That's stupid. Asinine. Why would he sign a short-term deal? He's with all these teams so desperate for a quarterback, he is going to kick some serious butt in contract negotiations. You know, Aaron Rodgers and all those, Russell Wilson, I don't think Kirk Cousins is leaving Atlanta. I think he'll be the backup. They paid him all his money last year. And there'll be others bouncing around. And that's why if you're the Titans and you like one of the quarterbacks, it's so funny to me. Everybody says Cam Ward has separated himself from Shedeur Sanders. Well, what's he done? He hadn't done jack squat. You know, he didn't work out at the combine. He wasn't at the Senior Bowl. So what's he done to separate himself? Is it interviews? What is it? And the Titans don't have a clue what they're going to do right now. And if they did, everybody should be fired. But they don't, and that's good because they have so many options. You never know what somebody could want to do in a trade. You never know what a great pro day, private workout, 30 visit, lunches, dinners with Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders is going to make him fall in love with him, or he could fall out of love. I just feel like based on everything I've read and seen from people that are longtime NFL observers when it comes to scouting, that Ward will be the first quarterback. He started a lot of games. That's the big deal now. They want quarterbacks. He started a lot. No Anthony Richardson's with 13 starts. And Ward's been at three schools, and he's improved at every one of them. He just seems to me like if they have him, say, rated fifth overall, why wouldn't you take him first?
That's a great point. We're talking to John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe Show. John, any chance we might see a reunion in Las Vegas between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson?
Well, there's a chance of anything right now, of course. But Pete Carroll, he called the shots in Seattle. He didn't want Russell Wilson. Then he goes to Sean Payton. He didn't want him. Then he goes to Mike Tomlin. They don't want him, it looks like. And that's three Hall of Fame coaches didn't want Russell Wilson. And so I don't know why they'd want to run it back. I can't imagine Tom Brady, you know, he's not the general manager. Of course, he's a minor partner. And he's not, I don't think, make them do something. But I think what he wants to do, they seriously consider it. And then Pete Carroll, John Spytek, the new GM who came from Tampa, they got to make that decision. And at six, maybe they try to trade up. Maybe Shedeur Sanders drops into their lap. I would guess the Raiders are going to take a position player. And with Chip Kelly as their offensive coordinator, maybe take Will Howard in the second round since they won a national championship together.
That's a great point with all that. It's just, I love the chaos that's happening. In your heart of hearts, what's the best landing spot for Sam Darnold? Because I don't think it's here, but somebody's going to pay him money. Where do you think he ends up, John?
He needs, hopefully he's not all about the money. You know, he's made a lot of money in his career, but he's going to be able to cash in. He'll be 28 when his season starts. And after the kind of season they had in Minnesota, I picked Minnesota to finish last in that division last year. He's going to want to go somewhere where they've got good players, wide receivers, and maybe a running game. And I think they'll look around at that. But, boy, if somebody offers a substantial amount that's more than what the other teams are offering, he'd be foolish to turn down a monster deal.
It would. This morning, it real quick came out that the Bears are trading a 2026 fourth-round pick to the Chiefs for their all-pro guard, Joe Tooney. Why? Are the Chiefs?
I don't understand that at all.
Right? Yeah, I don't mean either.
And I'm like, they got issues in their offensive line. Okay, Joe Tooney was playing left tackle. It's not his position. He did as well as he could, and it worked well in regular season till he got to the Super Bowl. And now they're trading him. And it doesn't make sense because they already needed a left tackle. Now they're going to need another guard unless they have somebody on their roster ready to be elevated. But of all the moves I've seen so far, that's the one that's the most curious to me.
We'll have more with John McClain coming up next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday, continuing our discussion with John McClain. HoustonTexans.com is where you can find his work. John, I'm sure you have to have, of all your years of covering the NFL, a Jimmy Johnson story. He announced his retirement from Fox Sports this week. They did a very nice tribute to him, and I would imagine there'll be more to come. But a long time in the sport of football, whether it's college football or the NFL, is there anything that comes to mind in all your years of covering the NFL?
I remember after Jerry Jones bought the team, and Tom Landry was still the head coach, and he was in Austin where he had a home playing golf. It was an off season, and the Dallas Morning News, somebody tipped them off that Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson were having dinner at a Mexican restaurant there. Now, why they sat at a table against a wall where anybody could see them is beyond me. Remember, this would have been 1989. And so a Dallas Morning News photographer went there and shot the picture, and they put it on the front page, 1A, the next day. And so Jerry Jones had to go fly to Austin fast to tell Tom Landry he was making that change. And Landry, they always said, was very bitter about finding it out from the picture. That's what happened. So Jimmy won his two Super Bowls. One of the reasons he got in the Hall of Fame with such a short career, besides winning two Super Bowls, is he had total control over personnel. And every move they made, he signed off on, not Jerry. And one of the reasons he left, Jerry wanted to get control of personnel. He told Jimmy at one point, "I'd rather be down here on the sideline with you, like during practice, instead of being up there in my office working on deals." And Jimmy said, at that point, "I knew it was going to be trouble." And then so after Jimmy went to Miami, I covered their last game, playoff game. They just got annihilated by Jacksonville. It was his last game. It was Marino's last game. And Wade Phillips had a roast for charity in Port Arthur, Texas, over in the Golden Triangle, southeast Texas, close to Louisiana, and I was invited to come there and speak. And I was sitting next to Jimmy, and I told Jimmy, "You're going to get in the Hall of Fame." And he said, "I don't think so. I didn't coach long enough. You know, the way we went out in Miami," he was just so negative and disappointed about it. And I said, "I'm telling you, you're going to get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Just make sure you take good care of yourself." And then when we voted him in, and they surprised him on the Fox set, and he started crying. I remembered that because I know how much it meant to him, as it does all of them. And that was kind of the crowning, the cherry on top of an ice cream sundae of a career in which he won national championships at both levels.
John, let me ask you, and we love playing the hypothetical revisionist history. Had Jerry Jones not fired him, what would that Cowboys run have been like? I think they would have won four in a row.
Well, the thing is, the third one was won by Barry Switzer with all of Jimmy's players. But remember, free agency had hit. And free agents, they wouldn't have been able to keep all their players together. And so they would have started losing. I mean, they did lose some. And all those great draft choices were not great picks. So I'm sure they might have won another one. But I think more, not that Jimmy left so much, is the fact that everybody wanted their players. They couldn't pay them. Because once you win Super Bowls, you want money. That's why you see guys from Super Bowl teams leave, because they want to get paid.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, 100%. Let me ask you this. I've seen this about Myles Garrett. Of course, he wants out of Cleveland. And I've seen everything from, well, he needs a first-round pick, the one team, a fifth-rounder. How much is a Myles Garrett wanting the trade going to influence how things go? Because now, you know, the Browns, that came out, well, they want a quarterback, but they lose a Myles Garrett. Do they take Abdul Carter? A lot of chaos off of one guy. Where do you think Myles Garrett ends up?
Well, the Browns have said publicly and privately they're not trading Garrett. So he's going to have to dig in, miss the offseason program, training camp. It'll cost him millions like it did Hassan Reddick last year after he went from the Jets to the Eagles. And Garrett, he's 29 years old. And no matter how great you are, you're not going to help a bad team get to the playoffs. You know, he wants to play for a winner. And I would imagine that's a team that's in the playoffs or a team that's on the verge of the playoffs, but is headed in the right direction, or a team thinks he's the difference in the Super Bowl, like people say Detroit. Well, why would they take draft choices from Detroit? They're going to be picking low. You know, you don't want to be picking low. They got a good thing going on down there. So I don't think he's going to be traded, but if he is, I think he'll bring two number one picks and something else, and it'll be spread out over 2 or 3 years.
John McClain is with us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. As we approach free agency and kind of getting back into that, is there, you know, in your mind, maybe a move that could surprise people, or maybe it's a non-move that could surprise people? Like, you know, we're talking about all these quarterbacks. Maybe one stays put. Is there anything that's kind of come to your mind?
The thing that surprised me the most happened this morning. It's not free agency, of course. It's the trade.
Right.
Joe Tooney goes from the Chiefs to the Bears, and the Chiefs don't make a lot of mistakes. And that one is just confounding, okay? And they're not going to give a good reason. Everybody always says we have to do what we think is in the best interest of the team. Well, why is trading Joe Tooney, one of your two best linemen, in the best interest of the team? Because it couldn't be an injury. He's got to pass a physical before the deal goes through. Anytime, it's always about the quarterback. You know, where are the quarterbacks going to land? To me, the biggest one everybody's going to want to know, of course, is Aaron Rodgers. If he ended up going to the Giants, which is ridiculous because they're terrible, and they don't have an offensive line, and they had a mediocre running game, why in the world would he want to go there? He's made so much money, over $300 million, and he's not married. So I'm guessing he's going to end up with a team that he thinks has a chance to make the playoffs. I keep thinking, what does Tom Brady think about him? John's, how much contact has he had with him? You know, Rodgers' style is the antithesis of Brady's style. Brady was so private, but that just intrigues me. Could Rodgers end up with the Raiders? And also, Sam Darnold's going to get a big payday from somebody. Say the Titans love Sam Darnold, and they went over the tape of the last two games with a fine-tooth comb and found out, you know, receivers ran the wrong routes or the protection broke down or he just had one bad day, maybe two. Boy, if they were able to sign him, then have the top pick, maybe trade down a couple of spots and pick up extra picks, boy, that would get them on the recovery road so quick.
Well, and that's kind of been my thought, John, is that, you know, they signed, now Kuharsky's reporting he doesn't think it's going to happen with Sam Darnold because he wants more of a long-term deal, and the Titans aren't in that realm right now. But, you know, my thought would be you sign Darnold, he's not a bridge quarterback. It's Tannehill 2.0 is essentially what you would be doing. You trade number one. A lot of people are linking the Titans and the Giants to making a move. You add extra picks. And then you build around Darnold, and, you know, he's basically running the same offense that he ran in Minnesota. You fix the offensive line, you know, the defense, if the secondary is healthy, and then you add to the pass rush, you might actually have some improvement there. But that's a big what if.
It is a big what if, and he's going to get more than anybody is predicting right now because there's so many teams desperate for a quarterback. He's a great guy. If I'm his agent, I'd take that tape of him being hoisted up on his teammates' shoulders in the locker room while they're celebrating clinching the playoffs. And Kevin O'Connell's over there watching with a satisfied smile, but it still worries me. Buyer beware. He won 14 games. Why did they not want him back? All they had to do is franchise him, work on a long-term deal. They're ready to go with an untested rookie over a quarterback who won 14 games. Why is that?
It's a great question, John. I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out because when we talk next week, we'll be a few hours from making things official, but I have a feeling we'll know a lot with the NFL. Appreciate it as always. We'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Guys, thank you very much as always.
Absolutely. John McClain joining us here on the program every Wednesday at 9:30. We'll react to some of that, and then yeah. We got a real busy 10 o'clock hour.
Busy. Keith Alberstadt, 10:15, Brady Shea, 10:30, and Christmas Sorrow
at 10:40. So looking forward
roll.
To that. It's Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.